A Scandal in Spring by Lewis M. Yarrow. Read by Carol Embry. Here we go. Chapter 1. The lie I built my life on. The ledger told me nothing I didn't already know, but I kept turning pages anyway, as if the numbers might rearrange themselves through sheer force of looking. £3.12. That was all that remained between us and the street. And even that assumed we ate nothing but bread for the next fortnight and burned no candles after dark. I closed the book and pressed my palm flat against its worn leather cover. The leather had been fine once, tooled in gold that had long since flaked away. Like everything else in this house, the morning light fell thin and grudging through the front parlor windows, picking out the faded spots on the carpet where the sun had bleached the pattern beyond recognition. I'd turned the carpet myself last Michaelmas, hoping to distribute the damage evenly, but all I'd accomplished was to expose the threadbare patch near the hearth. The one I'd positioned behind the settee now, where callers wouldn't see it. Callers. As if we had any, I heard Amelia's footsteps on the stair, light, careful, the step of someone who'd learned to move quietly through a house that creaked in every board, and I slid the ledger into the desk drawer before she reached the landing. Eleanor, are you still in your morning dress? I looked down at myself. The gray wool had faded to something that was neither gray nor blue, and the collar bore the ghost of a stain I'd never been able to lift. I'd meant to change an hour ago. I was reading. I rose, smoothing my skirts. I'll be ready directly. Amelia appeared in the doorway, already dressed in her best spridged muslin, the one I'd turned the hem on twice now. The fabric so thin at the seams, I could see the daylight through it when she stood at the window. Her hair was pinned neatly, pale gold against her forehead, and she had tied a ribbon at her throat. A hopeful ribbon, sky blue, that she'd saved from a bonnet last season. "The fair," she said, and her smile was so bright it hurt to look at. "You haven't forgotten?" "No, love." "I haven't forgotten. I had thought of little else for 3 days." The Holloway Green Fair was not a grand affair, not the sort of event that would be written up in the Morning Post or whispered about in Almack's. But it was the first outdoor gathering of the season, and that meant the right people would be there. The ton emerging from their country houses, stretching their legs, remembering who was worth remembering. And I needed to be remembered. "I've pressed your blue sprigged," Amelia said, hovering at my elbow as I crossed to the hall. "The one with the pearl buttons. It's still quite pretty." Quite pretty was generous. The blue sprigged had been new 3 seasons ago, when Father was still alive and we still had credit at the modistas. Now the lace of the sleeves was yellowed and the hem was frayed, and I had spent an hour last week moving the buttons so the worst of the wear didn't show. But it was better than the gray wool. "The costermonger's cart came round this morning," Amelia said, following me up the stairs. "I heard Mrs. Higgins bargaining over the apples. She said the russets were no good, but I think she was just trying to get a better price. I wanted to go down and see, but you were with Mr. Graves." "Mr. Graves, our uncle's solicitor. The man who had just informed me, with the careful gentleness of someone delivering news he'd delivered 100 times before, that my father's estate was quite thoroughly and finally exhausted." "Mr. Graves had business," I said, pushing open my bedchamber door. "Nothing to concern yourself with." Amelia's smile flickered, just for a moment. She was 18 months younger than me, but she had always read me too well. "He didn't bring good news, did he?" "He brought precisely the news I expected. I pulled the blue sprigged from the wardrobe and laid it across the bed. The yellowed lace seemed to mock me. Which is to say, no news at all. But I have a plan."
"You always have a plan."
"Yes." I turned to face her, and I made sure my voice was steady. "And this one is going to work, but I need you to trust me." Amelia studied me for a long moment, her blue eyes too old for her face. Then she nodded, and the smile returned, and I felt something twist in my chest that I had learned over the past 2 years to ignore.
"I do trust you," she said.
"Always." The solicitor's visit had lasted 20 minutes. 20 minutes of Mr. Graves sitting across from me in the front parlor, his hat on his knees, his expression carefully neutral while he explained that my uncle had extended what credit he could, and that further drafts would not be honored. "Your father was not a prudent man, Miss Pemberton." Mr. Graves had said this as if it were a discovery he had made, rather than a truth I had lived with my whole life. "The debts. I know the debts." My voice had come out sharper than I intended, and I softened it. "I have been managing them since his death." Mr. Graves had looked at me then with something that might have been pity. "Your gloves, Miss Pemberton." I had looked down at my hands. The gloves I wore were my only